Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute, but it's time to prepare our hearts and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. As the Word is being preached, let it just sink into your hearts, realizing that the very words of God can give you the abundant life that He wants for you. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look to you now, I pray your Holy Spirit's presence will come and fill this entire place as our hearts are ready to receive from you. Father, I just pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, let there be an increase of your Holy Presence as we choose to decrease right now. May you increase in every way, Father, and I pray that your words will come alive and speak to us in ways that will truly convict us, not condemn us. Let it convict us so that we can realize as we live your word, we will become more and more like Jesus. So we give this time into your hands. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God and praise God. Well, I want you to take a look at your notes. Well, just want to let you know, first of all, I'm going to be starting a new series. It's a 7-part series. It's time to get excited about that. And the title of my series is Spiritual Examinations for a Healthy Mind and Heart. Spiritual examinations for a healthy mind and heart. You know, just think about this. As we have periodic checkups to keep track of our physical well-being, we got to realize we got to frequently examine our spiritual wellness in regards to our devotion and service to God. Because, you know, the scriptures clearly point out that there is an importance to have these checkups often in our walk with our Lord. And I have to tell you, you know, I do it twice a year, where I have these physical examinations, because my doctor said, hey, you're getting older, so you got to do more of these examinations. I go, oh, man. But I realize if I want to be kept in good health, there's got to be a checkup. Well, you know, the scriptures point to the very fact we got to do spiritual examinations, too. Look at what it says in Lamentations 3:40. It says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. And we got to look within ourselves and ask, is there anything that I need to get right with the Lord? Because a lot of times we think, oh, I'm living a good life. I'm living a holy life. But when you ask the Lord to look deep within you, you realize, man, I shouldn't have said that to my spouse this morning. Or I shouldn't have done something that was kind of mean to my neighbor. And look what it says here in Psalm 26:2. It says, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. And we got to realize there are times we got to go to God and say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit just come right into my heart, Lord, and show me, Lord, what I need to make right with you. And we say, Lord, I allow you to just get so deep within me. Because sometimes we don't realize there's sin in our lives until we go to God, until we ask Him, Lord, show me. And like I said, twice a year, I got to do these physical checkups. And, you know, usually the doctor asks me to draw my blood. And I got to tell you, I hate needles. But this is the only way you got to check to see if I have any health issues, right? And so, basically, with the blood work that's done, he looks at my cholesterol levels, he looks at my insulin levels, and he looks at my white blood cell count, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, each component is important in determining how well my physical health will be. And the same goes for our spiritual health. There are components which we must check up in order to determine whether or not we are spiritually fit. And that's where we go to God. And that's where we seek the Lord and ask Him to dig deep into our hearts, into our souls. And that's why we're going to do a 7-part series. Like I said, spiritual examinations for a healthy mind and heart. Well, our spiritual check, first, examination one, we'll be checking our hearing. Because we often find that Jesus saying this, right? In his earthly ministry, in Matthew 11:15, 13:9, 13:43, what does Jesus say? He says, he who has ears to hear, let him what? Hear. And he also wrote letters to the churches in Asia. And this is what he says in Revelations 2:7. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we're going to hear from the Spirit of God. If you're ready to listening to what God has to say to us, know that His Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll speak to you in ways that you know you're going to be transformed, because we got to take in what the Holy Spirit gives us and say, Lord, I'm ready to change. Lord, help me to be that person you want me to be. Because what is the point of these sayings? Well, it's the very fact that Jesus is saying, what I'm saying is very important. So you better pay attention. That's what Jesus is saying. You got ears to hear? Well, be ready to listen. Well, Mark 4, 23, 25. Look what it says here. It says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That's what the scripture says. And we look at verse 23 or 24. It says, take heed to what you hear. What does it mean to take heed? Jesus says, yeah, to take it sort of like a warning. Realizing, I want to speak good into your life. I'm going to speak things in your life that will truly bless you. Take it as a warning. If you do not follow, there are consequences. Because he says, if you do hear and you take it in, he says, more will be given to you. What do you think Jesus will give more to you of? How about more blessings in your life? Who needs more blessings in your life? Who needs more peace? Who needs more patience? Joy. Love. We all need these things. And God says, I'll give it more to you. But it's just not simply hearing it and just say, okay, that sounds nice. I feel better and I'll just walk away. No, God says you are to take it in. And you are to live the very words of God. Because it suggests a problem that often exists today. Many people, they simply hear, but they do not understand. And we got to realize, we go to the Holy Spirit for understanding. We go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I know I just heard the word. Show me, how does it apply to me? What can I do to make my life in line with your word? And that's where, you know, God, he will come in. He will show you. And think about this, with the internet, oh my goodness, with so much information, tons and tons of information, many people are turning to the internet for their answers, right? If you want to know about the gray striped antelope, let's just say, you just type in gray striped antelope. And you got all this information that you would ever want and need. And a lot of people are doing that. And we're going to the internet, aren't we, for answers that we want in our lives. And you know, everyone's claiming they're an expert on everything. Oh yeah, I know all this stuff. I got masters and PhDs and I got all this and I got knowledge you will not believe. And you know, and we kind of wonder, okay, who am I going to believe then? We get confused, right? Because everyone claims to be an expert. But one person said this, another person said that. Who are we going to listen to? And we know Jesus was concerned about this. He realizes a lot of information was going around. And he's saying, you know what? You got to listen to the one that gives you life. Be careful what you listen to. Because people will say, oh, you're this, you're that. You go back to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, show me. What am I to do? Lord, how can I take your word and apply it to my life so I can have joy? So I can have restoration? So I can have more of you? You know, I got to tell you, I remember years ago, I went to this doctor, and after the blood work that he took from me, he said, Ben, I got to tell you, according to the readings, it doesn't look so good. He told me that. He says, you got to have to lose at least 20 pounds. I'm about the same weight. Do I look like I need to lose 20 pounds? He told me this, and he says, you know what, Dan? You got to cut down dramatically on all your favorite foods. That means no ice cream, no donuts, don't eat too much steaks. I'm going, really? And no starch. Cut out potatoes, cut out rice. What am I going to eat, paper? I'm thinking, get real, man, get real. And you know what he even did? He took a 20-pound sack of rice, he put it right on my lap, and he says, Ben, this is extra weight you do not need to carry around. thinking, okay, I think you're making your point here. I don't like to hear this, but, okay. Well, let me ask you, what do you think I did? Well, I went to another doctor, of course.
Grass.
There you go. And so I went to another doctor, right? And I got to this doctor, after he took all the blood work, he took all my readings, you know what he told me? He says, Ben, you're in good health. Whatever you're doing, continue to do it. I go, really? And he told me, you know what? Some of your readings show that you're close to borderline. Nothing to worry about. And he says, by the way, your weight is ideal for your height. I go, oh, you're a good doctor. And so, you know, who do you think I would listen to? Who would you listen to?
The good doctor.
Yeah, the good doctor, the second doctor, right? And so I go, okay. You know, you told me I'm doing everything right. And they say, okay, I guess I'll just continue to do what I'm doing. But then I kind of thought about it. I remember that first doctor said, you know what? I remember he telling me, he says, Dan, I want you to live a long life. Don't you want to be there for your children as they grow older? Then I started thinking about that. Man, maybe I should take heed to what the first doctor said too. And you know, I tell you, I really started to make at least somewhat of an effort, not a real full-on effort, but realizing I gotta take care of my body too, because I wanna see my kids grow up and have their family, and I wanna be a grandparent and all that. And I gotta realize, I can't just say, forget the first doctor and don't take heed to what he told me. And here's the thing, when it concerns our spirituality, we gotta be careful of what we hear and take into our heart. And we do not only listen to the things that pleases us, that makes us want to do more of something we know that may not be so good for us. Sometimes you gotta take in the things that kinda hurt, kinda go, oh, I don't like that. But realize, hey, I should listen to this. So I believe it is appropriate to ask, how well do you hear? Now let's begin by pointing out that there are different types of hearers, okay? So I know this is a lot of information. Don't be overwhelmed. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, but I want you to really take in what the Holy Spirit is trying to show you, because when I tell you, when I was putting all this together, I was going, oh man, this is a lot of information. I was starting to take things out, and the Lord said, then stop. This is for my children. Just preach the word, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. So please, just take in what the Holy Spirit is showing to you. And this is for you, and this is for me. All right? So, different types of hearers. First of all, those that are hard of hearing. And then, you know, Isaiah, he wrote of such people, and you know, Jesus applied it to many in his day. Look what he says here in Matthew 13:13-15. Look what he says. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear. Or what? Understand. And I'm going to start reading verse 14. It's not in your notes. It says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And you know, people are this way because they become hard of heart. Their heart become callous. And when the Word of God tries to come in, it's like preventing a blockage. The Word of God cannot come in. And they have closed their eyes to the truth, the Bible says. And truly, they usually are people that have made a decision to reject God and the truth of who He is. And usually this is for the non-believer who says, you know what, I don't need God. Just keep your God to yourself. I'm good by myself. Everyone told you that before? My friend said, hey, look where I am today. You know, I'm the vice president of this institution because all that I did, God had nothing to do with it. And, oh, man. But, you know, the thing is, we are still to tell them about the love of God. And, you know, often when I talk to people, sometimes they go, oh, yeah, Ben, I know you're going to talk about your God again. Sometimes they let out a big sigh. Ah, okay. You want to talk about God, aren't you? And you know, the funny thing is, often they're the ones that ask me first. They ask me about God, and now they're complaining that I'm talking about God. And I go, wow. And I just want to speak the truth into them because I love them. I know them for a long time, and I want them to know God. You know, an atheist once said, if there is a God, may he prove himself by striking me dead right now. And he paused for a little bit, and he says, see, nothing happened. You see, there is no God. And you know, someone responded by saying, you know what? You only prove that God is a gracious and merciful God. You're lucky you're not dead flat on the ground. Nor that you are one that is loved by God. He's extending his mercy and grace upon each and one of us every single day. And we realize the only way to open up a person's heart to hear the truth and accept it is we gotta let the Word of God get into it. We gotta let the Word of God come in so that they really realize, hey, I need a Savior. I need Jesus Christ. And we gotta pray for them. Because you know what? Their soul is at stake. And we gotta say, Lord, help this person to come to a point where he realizes that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Let it be here. It says, those dull of hearing. So the first one is those hard of hearing. Second one, those dull of hearing. And you know, some of the Hebrew Christians were like this. Let me read to you Hebrews 5, 9 to 12, and then I'll go and explain it. I'm going to start with verse 9. It's not in your notes. We'll come in at verse 11. It says here, and having been made perfect, he, referring to Jesus, became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. In verse 11, this is where you come in. It says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And we got to understand, first of all, you know, the author of Hebrews, he's trying to explain about who Jesus is. He's a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, who is a priest and a king. But he's saying, you know what? Even if I try to explain this to you, you won't understand. Because sometimes, you know, for people that just says, I know it all. You don't have to explain it to me. Oh, just keep that information to yourself. And that's where, you know, people, they don't grow. They think they know it all. And they just say, you know what? I don't need to hear a pastor's sermon. I don't need to read Christian books. I don't even need to read the Bible because I got it all up here already. And that's pride. I got to tell you, do not let pride enter in like this. Realizing the Holy Spirit is speaking to us each and every day. And he may speak through your brothers and sisters. He may speak through a Christian book. And of course, he will speak through his word. We got to read his word every single day. Because you know what? When a person has this problem, it is hard for others to explain things to them. And the fault is not with the subject material, nor the presenter, it's the hearer. We got to be willing to open up our ears and open up our mind and open up our heart and say, tell me more. And you know, this is the usual case for the believer who knows the truth, but pride has come in. And they will be the one that says, I'm the only one that knows it all. I'm the only one that is always right. Everyone else is wrong, or they're full of hot air. Oh, don't go there, brothers and sisters. Have a heart that says, Lord, I'm ready to receive, even from my brothers and sisters, from whoever wants to just speak more life into me. But because of this, they can't receive the deeper truths about God. And you know, the writer of Hebrews, they say they even struggle in understanding the basic teachings of the Bible. They think they know it, but you know what? Because their mind is so focused, just on who? Themselves, that they really might have even missed the truth. You know, I gotta tell you, remember when I was a young Christian, my brother, I gotta tell you, he was patient with me. A lot of times I said, you know, I don't want to hear it, and oh, come on, just keep your God to yourself. And he would speak life into me, and he would try to mentor me when I did come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I remember one time he told me, he said, Ben, wait for God's best. You know, when you wait upon God, that's where he will bless you. He will truly show you who he is. And he told me, he says, you got to wait upon the Lord for a provision of a believing spouse. He says, you know, you got to wait. Because I was getting older, you know, a lot of my friends are trying to set me up with their friends who are not believers. And I was saying, well, maybe it's okay. And you know, he gave me all the scriptures. He says, do not be yoked with the unbeliever, Ben. He says, God wants you to have godly offspring. You got to wait for that godly woman that will enter into your life. If you wait, God will provide it. And you know, anyway, after giving me all these scriptures, he showed it to me, right? I would still say to him, Walton, I think you're wrong. And I gave him a lot of buts. But, Walton, I'm going to convert this woman into a Christian first. And you know, maybe God wants to test my witnessing skills. So it's okay. And my brother said, no, Ben, wait. Wait upon the Lord. And I'm so glad I cut out my butts. I listened to him, and look who I'm here with today. My beautiful wife, Jonna Lee. And that's the thing. My whole point is, we got to realize that when people try to speak life into us, we don't go, but. We say, okay, we just listen, and then we go to the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, no, they're trying to speak to you in ways that will try to help you, but still, we go to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal what you already do. Amen? Well, letter C is those with itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:2-4, it says here, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with what? Sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to say. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to what? Myths. And such people, they're only going to listen to what is pleasing, if it makes them feel good. Because a lot of times, people say, oh, I really enjoy that sermon. I feel so good now. And I tell them, it's not just about feeling good. It's about the Word of God changing you from the inside out. Because you know what? They may feel good just for a moment, and then suddenly, they're back into the world, and they're complaining, they're grumbling, and they're depressed. And we got to realize, we got to put that away, and we got to take in what is called sound doctrine. Because, you know what, often this kind of preaching requires negative preaching. That's what people see it as anyway. Because some preachers, they will tell you, oh yeah, you're not a sinner. Oh yeah, you're all good. In fact, you know, you're perfect. God sees you as being perfect. This is what is preached at the pulpit. And they will never mention anything about the fact you got to deal with your sin. And the Bible clearly tells us, if you want to be really close to God, you got to deal with your sin. You got to make it right with God. Amen? That's where you truly will grow. And you know, many people are often afflicted with this kind of hearing problem. They only hear what they want to hear. You know, often women, they will say, you know what? My husband is a selective hearer. You ever heard that term? They only hear what they want to hear. You know, for example, I counsel, you know, my wife and I, we counsel a lot of couples. And, you know, sometimes the wife will just complain about the husband. And you know, just say, oh, he only listens to what he wants to listen. And he'll just put off everything else that he doesn't want to hear. And for example, the wife may tell the husband, you know, what he needs to accomplish for the day ahead. You know, first of all, she may tell him, okay, this is what I want you to do, hon. Take out the frozen steaks from the freezer to be marinated and barbecued on the grill. Oh, man, you know, something about guys and grills, right? And go, oh, okay, that's a done deal thing already. And then she may say, oh, pay the bill for the TV cable company. You got to send it out immediately because, you know what, our cable may be cut off if you don't. Okay, guys, come on, be honest. All right, done deal. And then the third one. Remember, hon, wash the dishes in the sink and take out the garbage. And the guy may say, okay. But then later on, the wife checks on the husband, right? And you know, the first two, they're done long ago already. They're done deal. And then the last one, the wife said, so did you do the last one? Wash the dishes and take out the garbage. And the husband says, you never said that. I don't remember you saying that. And then
The wife said, of course I did. I stressed it 100 times. And the guy says, no, you didn't. And you know, it's called selective hearing. And don't we do that with the Bible sometimes too? And when we hear the message, we only hear what we want to hear. The person may remember the pastor saying, eat, drink, and be merry. Son, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. That's what the Word of God told me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. But when the pastor says, you know what? You got to be loving and forgiving to your enemies. You must get rid of all bitterness, and you must not judge others. And you know what? For that, I was totally blanked out. And, you know, the thing is, when we only want to listen to what we want to hear, I got to tell you, we will not grow spiritually. When the pastor or preacher, whoever is preaching, you ask yourself, how does this Word of God apply to me? Just don't brush it off and say, oh, that's not for me. No. Say, how can I apply it to my own life? Well, letter D here, it says, those with good ears and honest and noble hearts. So write in that blank, good. Those with good ears and honest and noble hearts. And Jesus, he spoke of these people in the parable of the sower. In Luke 8:15, look in your notes, it says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word. They cling to it and patiently produce a large harvest. And you know, the Berean Jews, they were known to be hearers of this kind. They received the word of God. They let it get into their heart, and they were ready to just let the word transform them. They desired the word of God in such a way that you knew that they were becoming more and more like Jesus. And this is the kind of hearer that we all must be. Look what it says here in Acts 17:11. It says, and the people of Berea, is the Berean Jews, right? They were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. You know, I remember a long time ago, I attended this church, and I loved what the pastor, almost every sermon he would say this. He says, please listen carefully to the word of God when it is preached, whether it be me or another pastor. But, this is what he says, I want you to go home and see to it that all the words that came from my mouth were all in line with the scriptures. Wow. Because, you know, some pastors say, I know the truth, and you listen. If you don't listen, you're going to burn in hell. No, we don't do that. I'm going to tell you right now, whatever I preach here, I know it's led by the Holy Spirit, but please, go home, get your Bible, and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what Pastor Ben just preached today, how does it apply to me? Is it really in line with your word? Is it in line with your truth? You see that? Go ahead and do that, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you when you go back and just kind of review in your mind, in your heart, what the Holy Spirit is trying to show to you. Amen. So here's a question. Why is it important to be this kind of hearer? Well, look at Roman numeral 2. It says the importance of good hearing. And the first point, letter A, is you want to be blessed. And look what it says here in Matthew 13:16-17. It says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And we got to realize, you know, great people in the Old Testament like David, Daniel, Job, you know what? They didn't have the opportunity to learn from Jesus. Just think about this. And he tells us, you know, it says, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you have seen, what you have heard. We realize that we are blessed. We have heard the message from Jesus Christ. And he spoke this to us so that we may have the abundant life. And so we are to take the word of God seriously, knowing that we are blessed. Many of the great people of the Old Testament, they didn't hear these teachings from Jesus. So realize, yeah, you are blessed that you have the word of God. Amen? Letter B here, it says, to being saved through faith, to being saved
through faith. And you know, God has ordained it that we shall be saved through faith in who? His Son, Jesus Christ. And such faith comes through the gospel, often involving listening to a preacher. Right? Because if we hear the word of God, often it's from a preacher or a Bible study teacher. You know, basically, we got to hear the word before we put our faith in it. We have to hear it. Look what it says in Romans 10:14. It says, how can they then call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So my point is, we got to speak it out. It's not just for the preacher, the pastor, or the Bible study teacher. All of us, we need to speak it to our loved ones. We need to be bold about it and tell them that truly Jesus Christ lives, that God is real and God is for them. Amen? Be bold about it and tell them the good news. Letter C here, it says to bearing fruit. And you know, when you come to the understanding of what bearing fruit is, you realize we all must do it. Because look what it says in Colossians 1:6. It says, this same good news that came to you is going out over throughout the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by what? Changing lives, just as it's changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. And we got to realize, how do you know your ministry is bearing fruit? When you see lives are being changed. And I got to tell you, I get excited when, you know, like at the park, you know, after we pray for people, people come to us and say, oh, you know what happened? Remember you prayed for me? I got the job! Or I got a place to live! God did something! He healed me! He healed my daughter! Oh! Isn't that awesome? Wonderful news? And that's what it is. When you know God is bearing fruit, we know it's through the Word of God. Because we preach it, we share it, and stuff happens. Miracles happen because God shows Himself when you take His word and you live it. And you see the changes. I got to tell you, I love it when I see, you know, a marriage that is on the brink of divorce. And we share to this couple the word of God. They take it, they put it into their hearts, they apply it. And you see, wow, the marriages are so blessed. You see how they're so sweet to each other. Because the Word of God came in. The Word of God transformed them. Amen? Well, letter D here, it says to prevent apostasy. And what is apostasy? It's a falling away from your faith. And there's a real danger to drifting away from your faith. You guys heard of backsliding, right? That's what it is. There's a danger, because you know the devil, he's working against us each and every day. Because if you're reading your Bible and you're drawing close to God, know that the devil, he's going to be right there. He's going to tell you, oh, you don't need God. Why do you believe in all this stuff? So he's wanting you to backslide and get away from God. And we got to realize that's where we really got to take in what the Holy Spirit says to us. We do not listen to the lies of the devil. Amen? Because there's a real danger there if we think that, you know, we can just continue going towards God, but we're not getting in the Word. We're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. Look what it says here in Hebrews 2:1-3. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not, what? Drift away. You see that? For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. You know, another translation, it says, the only solution is to give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard. Are we giving our most earnest heed to what we heard from what was preached at the pulpit? Or maybe even on the TV, you watch an evangelist, you know, preach the Word of God. Did you take heed when he says, beware, your sins will draw you away from God. Do something about it today. And you say, oh, okay, that's not for me. But we take heed. It's important. We take heed when we hear what the Word of God is being preached.
And that's when we know we're going to get closer to God, when we take heed. Letter E here, it says to avoid rejection. And, you know, if a person is unwilling to hear the Word of God, those teaching the Word of God have a right to reject him. Did you know that? Let me have you read here what it says here in Matthew 10, 14 to 15. It says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off of your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment for that town. There has to come to a point, you know, because a lot of times people, you know, I heard of this, where people tell the other person, the non-believer, I'm not leaving your house until you receive Christ as your Savior. I'm staying put. And you know what? They may be cursing God. Take your God and get out of here. You know, and they may be yelling and saying, I don't want to hear about your God. And they start to mock God. And man, there's a time when we got to say, okay, it's time for me to leave. Especially, I got to tell you, I usually am very patient. I want to just answer all the questions a person has about God. But if they start mocking God, and they start cursing God, and say, your God is, I say, okay, that's it. You know, I say, you know what, I think I have to leave. And you know what, do I just say, okay, end of story. I'm never going to talk to you again. You think that's what God wants me to do? No, you know what you do afterwards? After you leave, you pray for him. God will give you another opportunity, but this is not the opportunity. Because you know what? When you pray for them, you know the seed has already been planted. He heard what you just told him. But now, it's not up to you now. God may bring on certain consequences that he may have to face in his life. Somehow God will reach his heart. And God's going to give you another opportunity. And you wait for it. Doesn't mean that you forget the person. No, you pray for that person. And God will give you another time where you're going to speak the word into him. And you know, then there are people that just judge themselves. I hear people say, you know what, Pastor, I'm so unworthy to receive God. I don't think God would want me anyway. I'm unworthy to receive God and his word. And you know what, look what it says here in Acts 13, 46 to 49. It says, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. It says, we had to speak the word of God to you first. He's talking about the Jewish people. And he says, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now will turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are non-Jewish people, okay? And this is not in your notes, but he says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region. You see, for the group, you know, that they tried to preach to first, which were the Jews, they didn't want to hear it. But when they preached to the Gentiles, they said, oh, tell us more. They were so glad to realize, hey, I can be saved also. But for the Jewish people, they say, you know, I'm not even worthy. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, none of us are worthy to receive the greatest gift in this entire universe, which is the gift of eternal life. None of us are worthy. But it is through God's grace and mercy, he says, I'm giving it to you. That's why I sent my son to suffer and die for you on the cross. You see that? We all don't deserve it. Because sometimes people will say, I don't deserve God. Well, you say, you know what? Neither do I. You tell them that. But because of God's great love and mercy, we're going to receive it. Amen? Okay, now comes the next question. How then can we improve our ability to hear? And you know what? I got to tell you, these are some practical things that we can do, especially if you're hearing the Word of God. And you can use this, you know, even for, you know, a college student, you know, when they're listening to their college professor, you know, some of these things you can use too. But sometimes we really got to stay alert and awake. Because I got to tell you, there are times we take the Word of God too lightly. And we do not put it as great importance. Because we got to realize, you know, often when the preacher is up here at the pulpit, I got to tell you, a lot of times I'll have all my notes up here, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, Ben, don't say that. Say this. You know? And I have to tell you, after I say it, It's like someone will come up to me afterwards and say, "Man, this is exactly what I needed to hear." Yeah, this is what the Holy Spirit does, because He knows I'm up here. I'm just a servant of God. And you know what? I preach His word because He put that in my heart to do it. And I can't do it without Him. It's His Holy Spirit that speaks through me. I tell you, I know that for a fact, because, you know, sometimes I'll even prepare this message and I go, "Oh, that's for me, Lord." I'll be crying as I'm preparing the message. This is for me. Well, let's look what we can do. Letter A here says, make hearing an act of worship. And you know, when you have the opportunity to hear the word of God, do it with a worshipful attitude. You know, because think about this. If you're worshiping God through song, right? A lot of times you go, "How great is our God." And we're lifting hands and we're just crying out to God. We're in such a worshipful attitude. And your tears start streaming down your eyes. "How great. Oh, I've got to take my snap now." Would you do that? Well, you know what? We got to look upon hearing the word of God in such a worshipful way. Because remember, forget about me. Don't even think that I'm up here. Forget about Pastor Ben. Just think that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now. And realize, you know, if you miss out, hey, you could have missed out on something so big, something that could have solved your problem. But you said, "Okay, I got to go out and take a break," or whatever. Because you remember, it's not about the person, yeah, that's preaching up here. Like I said, it's about the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about what's for lunch. Because you may be thinking about, "Okay, I'm ready for that Big Mac and French fries." Now, get that out of your mind. Think about what the Word of God can say to you right now. Or you may be thinking, "Oh, I think my team is playing today. I wonder who they're going to play against. Oh, I wonder what channel it is." You know what? Don't worry about those things. Get your mind focused. Think of it as a time of worship. I don't care, you know, whoever the pastor, whoever is up here, take in what the Word of God says to you. Amen? Amen. Letter B here, it says, listen from first to last and make a point. You say, "I'm going to pay attention from the very beginning to the end of the sermon." And you know, just think about this. If you were to read a novel, right? Let's just say, "Oh, I don't think I want to start in the beginning. I'm going to start with page 15. And you're going to read maybe like two pages there. Okay, I'm going to skip to page 75 now. Okay, and read like maybe a few pages. Okay, now let me go to page 175. And oh, okay, I'm going to read to the end. Well, let me ask you, will you have understanding? Probably not. Right? You go, "Wait, why did that happen? What? This doesn't make sense." And we got to realize, you know, speakers, they must follow certain rules of speech as to be understood. Usually, you know, right? If you ever gave a presentation or you preach a message, usually you know that's what I do. There's an introduction, right? Then there's a body with all the main points, and then there's a conclusion, a summary, right? And so hearers, we got to listen to all parts to really understand, because, you know, this means you got to turn off your cell phone, really. Because, you know, sometimes the phone ring, or even if you put it on buzzer, "Okay, who is that?" "Okay, that's a friend. I never talked for a long time. What did the pastor say?" "Oh, I got to get this message." "Oh, okay." And you go outside. Or it may be the case, oh, you want to take a snack break, like I said. Or maybe, you know, okay, I got to understand. If you got to use the restroom, hey, you got to go, right? But make it a point if you can go before, you know, so that you don't have to go during, you know. Because the whole point I'm trying to tell you is, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit may be speaking or want to speak something into your life, but because you didn't listen to it when it was spoken, man, you could have missed out. And you know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes, you know, people will come up to me and you know, they may have taken a break, like a 20-minute break, right? I see them get up and then they come back and they go, "Pastor, you didn't make sense at the very end with your summary. I didn't understand what you're trying to say." Well, I said, "Well, it's probably because you left for 20 minutes. And if you stayed, you probably would understand." You see what I'm saying? We got to listen from beginning to end. And we got to stay focused because it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking. Amen? Mm-hmm. Well, let us see here. It says, look at the speaker And this will greatly aid your concentration, because this requires self-discipline, especially for some of you know you that may be really shy. I was really shy too, and you know I couldn't make eye contact with people. But it will help you to develop a longer attention span. No joke. You can try this and see if this works. But you know, if you just keep looking at me, I'll keep looking at you. But I remember once a mother came to me after the service, and you know she has been coming for like probably a couple months, and she was bringing her children, and you know the teenage son told her, says, "Mom, I don't know if I really like that pastor." And you know he said, "Because you know why? Because I can't fall asleep during the service anymore." Because in the previous church, that's what he did, right? And because I know, I kept on making direct eye contact with him. I didn't realize I was doing this, right? But I remember he said, he told his mom, one time I was making eye contact with him, and then he said, "Repent and turn away from your sin." And you go, "Oh, how does the pastor know?" And you got to realize, this is, I got to tell you, if you look at me, I'll look at you. This is what I learned in speech class. This is how you get people's attention. You kind of look at them. You got to give eye contact. So I kind of go look around. And that's what you got to do. Because if you start looking down, guess what? What is the natural tendency or reaction to do? All right? Keep your head up. Look at me. Because it's not about me, remember. I want you to really understand the Word of God may be preached in a way that's going to transform you. It's going to really solve some problems in your life. But you can't miss it. Amen? Letter D here. It says, lean forward if necessary. And I got to tell you, your sitting position can impact your ability to hear. Because you know what? If you're in too a relaxing position, your mind will tend to wander more. Did you know that? Because think about this. Grab this chair. Can you grab that chair from me? I'm kind of going too close. Because think about this. If you were to sit back in your chair like this, what's going to happen? You get relaxed. Your body, your muscles are relaxed. And you're going to fall asleep if you lean forward. Try this. Everyone, just lean forward. Is it comfortable?
No.
No, it isn't. But you know what? I tried this. We went to a conference this weekend, and it was a church, you know, Collegiate Union Church, and I did this. I just stayed forward like this, and you know what? I wasn't falling asleep as much. You know, I was like, you know, and that's the thing. We got to realize we don't have to be comfortable, especially when you're taking in something that you know is of great importance. You know, look what it says in Matthew 26. I'll give you a good example. I know the Holy Spirit showed this to me. It says here, Matthew 26, 36 to 41. It says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I'll go over there to pray. And I have a feeling his disciples just didn't sit. They probably kind of lounged, if you know what I mean. And this is what it says in verse 37. Okay, it's not in your notes. It says, Jesus took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. And he tells them, stay there and keep watch with me. And he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. Asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And we know our bodies are weak, so don't get in a comfortable position. Because what did Jesus do? He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. What did he do? He got in an uncomfortable position. You try doing this for an hour. I got to tell you, there are times in my life where I was like so broken. I did this. You know, when I got up, my leg was asleep, I'd be walking. I was uncomfortable, but you know what? That was the best fellowship I had with God. I didn't allow myself to get in a comfortable position. Because I got to tell you, if I were to grab my Bible and go on the bed and lie down and open it, you know, during the night, probably within 5 minutes, it's okay. Get yourself in an uncomfortable position. I got a wooden chair at home I don't like. I got this. I sit in it, and I sit at my desk, and that's where I can really get focused because I'm not comfortable. My body is not comfortable, but you know, my spirit is more than just comfortable. It's at peace with God because I'm totally focused on God. Amen? Well, letter E here, it says, read along in your Bible. And you got to remember, you will remember more of what you both see and hear over what you simply hear. So, you know, that's why I got all these notes for you. So I want you to read along, because if you just were to hear it, less likely you're going to remember it, okay? So read along, or just open up your Bible. You know, if you can just turn to, you know, quickly where I'm reading, I got to tell you, you will retain the information a lot better. And, you know, your knowledge of the scriptures will be greatly improved by doing this. Try it. It's really proven, you know, studies where, yeah, you will learn more when you both see and hear. And letter F, it says, hear with faith. And listen with the willingness to accept and believe what is shown in God's Word. And this is very important. Believe that what is being preached, the Scripture, is for you. Or possibly could be for you. Because some people say, oh, that's not for me. But look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. They're not just mere human ideas. This is the Word of God. It says, you accepted what we said as the very Word of God, which of course it is. And this Word continues to work in you who believe. And I have to tell you, if you hear the preacher saying, you know, by His stripes, you are healed. God sent forth His Word and He healed your disease. No, I got to tell you, some people, He told me this, you know, when He heard this, you know, I wish that was true for me. I wish that God's healing would be for me. It is for you. You got to realize the Word of God is for everyone. He doesn't say, okay, it's for you, only for you and maybe for her, and that's it. No, it's for all of us. You got to receive it. If you don't receive it right away, you still claim it. You say, Lord, that scripture is for me. Amen? And you say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to receive your word, and I'm going to live to the fullest that you want me to live. And you know, and the other thing is, the preacher may say something like, oh, do not judge others, otherwise you will be judged. And you know, I say sometimes, and I, you know, like the past Thursday, I talked about, you know, judging others. You know, sometimes people just tend to look at their spouse, you know. You know, when the pastor says something like, oh, don't judge others, and you can see, or you can almost, you can almost read that person's mind, what they're thinking. Oh yeah, my wife always judging me. Always saying I don't do what I'm supposed to do. What about her? But you got to realize, you know, because a lot of times, even I'll do that. I admit, you know, sometimes I hear a sermon, I go, oh, if only so-and-so were here right now, man, they would benefit so much from that scripture. And I realize, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying, what about you? What about you, Ben? You're looking at the speck in your brother's eye. What about that log that's in your eye? And, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And you got to realize, yeah, when the word's being preached, ask the Holy Spirit, how does this apply to me? Lord, this is for me. If this is for me, Lord, show it to me. Lord, show it so I can really be transformed. The letter G here, it says, hear with a mind to act. Hear with a mind to act. And we got to ask ourselves, when we hear the Word of God, do we have the mind to say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it right now? Because I don't want to be phony. I want to do exactly what the Lord tells me to do. Because if we don't, you're going to be like people in the prophet Ezekiel's day. Look what it says here in Ezekiel 33, 30 to 32. And God says, He calls Ezekiel the son of man. He says, son of man, your people talk about you in their houses and whisper about you at the doors. They say to each other, come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. This is God talking now. It says, their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they do not act on it. When I read that, I go, whoa. And that's why, you know, I made it a point. I'm going to preach the word of God as he instructs me. I know sometimes people at the park, they have come to me and said, why did you say that, Pastor? You know, the nerve of you. And I go, oh. I say, hey, it's in the word, brother. It's in the word. I got to preach it. God called me to preach it. And you know, we got to take the word of God and says, okay, Lord, I know it kind of hurts me, but Lord, I want to be like Jesus. So Lord, show me, what do I need to do first? Because I know, Lord, if I don't do it, I won't grow. I won't be more like Jesus. And, you know, we got to understand, hearing must be accompanied by doing if there's going to be any profit. You got to do it. You hear it, you do it. If it tells you, go and forgive your neighbor. And you may say, oh, but my neighbor did this to me. You know the Holy Spirit saying, forgive. Let it go. So that I can forgive you. So that I can put more of my peace in you. You gotta let go. We gotta do it. We gotta do it. Just don't hear it and say, oh, it sounds nice. Yeah, maybe someone else can benefit. No, you can benefit. I can benefit from it. And we do it. Amen? Because look what it says here in James 1:22. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must what? Do what it says. Otherwise, you're just what? Fooling yourself. You want to fool yourself. You can say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, I love God. But you know what? You're fooling yourself. It says, the way you show that you really love God is by obeying his word. That's what the word of God says. You show him that you love him by obeying him. You do what he tells you to do. And you know, as important as hearing may be, the blessedness comes only if we are doers as well. We must do it. Don't make excuses. Just do it. You know, just like Nike commercial. Just do it. Don't make excuses. Don't whine. Just do it. And watch the blessing that will come forth in your life. Well, the question now here is, how important then is hearing? Because, you know, when it comes to hearing God, it is very important. Because he will speak to you every day. Like I said, you know, he will speak to your brothers and sisters in the faith. And, you know, he may speak to you in a book. He will speak to you in his word. Whatever it may be. Maybe a TV evangelist. But you know that the Holy Spirit will speak to you directly too. And look what it says in Isaiah 55, 2-3. It says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, God says, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. God says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promise to David. And you know, you kind of think about this. How do we open our ears, you know? Because we can open our eyes, open and shut our eyes, right? But how do you open our ears? Because it's naturally open. You can't, it won't go like this, will it? Nobody can. Is there someone who can do that? Oh, okay, I was just wondering. That'd be neat if you see someone, oh, it's just closing by itself. Well, husbands, don't even think about that. But you know, the thing is, I think what God is trying to tell us, you open your ears by what? Opening your heart. That's how you do it. Because when your heart is shutting up, that's where your ears are shut. You're not going to receive the word of God. And it is essential for the good of our soul. God speaks these words into us because he wants to give us life. Well, here's a question. Is there ever a time that God does not hear us? Do you think there's a time when God doesn't hear what we're saying? What do you think? He hears all the time? Okay. Well, actually, if you look what the Bible says, there are times where God, he will not hear us. It's when our sins are between us and God. Look what it says here in Isaiah 59, 1 to 2. It says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor his ear, what? Too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away. What does it say there? He will not listen anymore. There comes a time if you still keep on doing what you know is wrong. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you constantly, day after day, each and every hour, let's say. And you keep turning it off. There's come a time God says, you know what? This person's heart is too hard. I just got to stop listening. God will not stop loving you. God has not left you, but he's going to have to stop listening because your heart has become too hard. And we got to realize, Lord, help my heart to be softened so I can hear your word. Because that's what it takes, our hearts to be softened. But you know what? We can take care of that problem easily by receiving God's mercy. Look what it says here in Isaiah 55, 6 to 7. It says, seek the Lord while you still can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will what? Forgive generously. It's a matter of you just saying, Lord, I want to make it right. Because if you really sense that the presence of God is not strong, somehow because you haven't done what God has told you to do, yeah, there's going to be a time you just go, oh man, where is God? And you just simply make it right. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I repent. I confess. And you know, that mercy today is offered through his son, Jesus Christ. And you know, God has said in Luke 9:35, look what it says here. This is my beloved son. What does it say there? Hear him. He's saying, this is the one that I've sent. Listen to him. Listen to what he has taught you. Listen to what he will say because he will speak life into you. You must listen and you must do it so that you can truly have that abundant life. Because you know what? If we give a deaf ear to the Lord, it's probably one of the worst things that Christians can do. You know the Lord is speaking to you. It's like, I can't hear you. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, that person is so mean, I ain't going to forgive him. And children do that, right? Nah, I cannot hear you. We don't want to do that. We say, Lord, I hear you, I'm going to do it. Because it will show, if you keep on ignoring what he's saying, really, it will show that you really don't belong to God. Because if you know that your heart belongs to him, you'll do what his word says. And look what it says here in Luke 6:46. It says, Jesus says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say? You know what Lord means? It means master. Is Jesus really your master? Because if you are his servant and Jesus is your master, you're going to do what he says. You're not going to question the master. You're going to say, Lord, it's you. I'm going to do it. And you just go in faith, believing that God will bless you as you do what he says. Because when Jesus says it, we should hear it not only with our ears, but with our heart also. As he speaks, he says, okay, I know this is God. I'm going to do it. I'm trusting in God. You know, I got to tell you, I'm going to conclude with this. You know, in a Gallup poll, it showed that 78% of Americans expect to go to heaven when they die. 78% now. And sounds good, right? 70%, that's pretty good. But here's the problem. Many of them hardly even pray. They say, oh, I pray maybe once a month. And they say they hardly read the Bible and they hardly attend church. They maybe go on holidays. Like Christmas, right? Or Thanksgiving or something like that. And they admit that they live to please themselves. It's not about pleasing God. No, it's about pleasing myself. And you kind of wonder why these people even want to go to heaven. Don't they realize heaven is God's house? Really, you want to go to heaven and you're not wanting to do what God wants you to do? You know, there's a hymn, I got to tell you, there's a song, and this is the lyrics to it. It says, when all my labors and trials are over, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. And we got to realize, if our attitudes don't change, and we don't really appreciate His Word and don't appreciate and embrace His voice, I gotta tell you, if we do make it to heaven, it's not gonna be really so much of a glory. It may be a shock. What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen to His voice. Embrace it. Do what it says. And if you listen to the sound of His voice, oh, just say, Lord, I love Your voice. Speak more to me. I want to have you listen to this song. It's a video. I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite songs. It's sung by Third Day. Benson, can you go ahead and play that, please? Technical difficulties. Is it a minute or so?
I ran away from your love. You waited for me. Yes, you waited for me. And then I heard your song singing over me, singing over me. Now that I hear you, sing your song to me. Oh.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You know, the last part of the song, the last lyrics, it says, I ran away from your love, yet you waited for me. And you know, it may be a situation you are in right now. Are you running from the Lord? I gotta tell you, He's calling out your name. If you're running in the opposite direction, God will constantly call out your name. Now come back, child. Come. I want to give you the blessed life. Come, I want to show you that I am your daddy God. You gotta make it a point, say, I'm gonna stop running in the opposite direction. I'm gonna run straight into your arms, Father. Because He's calling out to you. If you listen very carefully, you will hear His voice. Because yeah, we can hear it through what the preacher is saying at the pulpit or other brothers and sisters saying, oh, I heard from God that He told me to tell you this. But you know what? You hear from God directly. Amen? And as He speaks to you, say, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do as you tell me. And you know what? All the blessings that we will pour forth on your life, it won't stop. It will constantly show that you belong to Him. Amen? Amen? Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And Father, truly, we want to hear your voice. We want to embrace your voice, Father. We want to listen very carefully. As the word is spoken, we want to let your word just come in. Father, will you let it sink so deep within our hearts that we're not going to leave here the same person, that every time we come and listen to your word, we know we're being transformed. We're being more like Jesus. Now you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize now that maybe I haven't been taking the Word of God very seriously. That I know that I go to church and I listen, but I don't think of it as a act of worship, a time of worship. But I realize I want to take your Word and let it sink so deep within my heart. I really want to embrace your Word. For I know this is the only source of life that will give me the abundance that you promise. Father, will you work in my heart? Show me how to let your word just get deeper and deeper into my soul, into my heart, into my spirit. Because truly, I know, Father, without you, I can never truly experience the victories that you have for me. I can never truly experience the blessings that you want to give to me freely. Truly, if this is your heart, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, Lord, oh, just work in my heart that I will truly receive your word in its fullness when I listen with all of my heart. If that's you, can you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Just raise your hand up high and say, that's me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. You put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Father, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Father, I pray right now, Lord, as I can see, Lord, in their hearts, they're desiring more of you. They're desiring your word. I pray, Father, the next time that they go to their Bible, as they open it, Father, I pray that your words will come alive. Oh, Father, as they read your word, let them have great understanding, Father. As they read your word, where they just get even more excited, realizing this is the very thing that they need in their lives so that they can truly experience more of your miracles, more of your blessings. Father, let it come so alive that each and every day they have a yearning to read your word, a desire to just get deeper into your word. And I pray, Lord, they will have an understanding like they never had before. They have great understanding. You're going to give them revelation, Father, as they read your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We give you all the praises, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. And if you are ready and you're willing to say, Lord, I want to surrender all of me unto you, Father. I give all of me. I'm saying yes to your Son, Jesus Christ, with all my heart.
I'm giving all of me unto you. Truly, this is your heart. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Because he's tugging at your heart. Say, yes, Lord, I receive you. If that's truly your heart's cry, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to say yes. Yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Anyone else? Alright. You can put your hands down. Why don't we say this prayer together? Let's speak it from our hearts, knowing that our Father God is listening right now. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him. And I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, where I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Let's all